Good afternoon, one and all. Great to see you here on this beautiful sunny day. Another chance. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Amen. Well, I wonder if you can remember a time in your life where there was something about yourself that you desperately wanted to change. I remember when I was a kid, I think I was probably about 12, something like that. At that season in my life, I was just so irresponsible. I repeatedly forgot the things that I was meant to do. Jobs around the house, feeding the pets, raking the leaves off the driveway, whatever it was. And I have so many memories of my mum and dad coming to me in the evening. It was nearly bedtime. And they would say, "Reuben, have you done such and such?" And of course, I hadn't done it again. I'd forgotten to feed my rat again. And I'd feel terrible because I genuinely wanted to be more responsible. I really did. I didn't want my rat to starve, but I just felt like I couldn't remember. I couldn't do it. I really wanted to change. I remember hating that I had a reputation of being irresponsible. I almost felt like it was out of my control, like I couldn't help it, like I'd probably never be responsible and I'd probably fail as an adult. I felt like that was just going to be me for the rest of my life. I know that sounds a bit dramatic for a 12-year-old, but it bothered me. I wonder if there's ever been something like this in your life that you really wanted to change. Maybe there's something in your life right now that you are struggling with and you wish you could deal with it. I think we all want to change in some way, don't we? We all want to grow. We all want to become better people. It's especially true, isn't it, for Christians? We see the sin in our lives, or at least some of it, and we desperately wish we could get rid of it. And it's not helped when we look at other Christians around us who seem more godly than us, seem to have a closer relationship with Jesus than us, and we wish we could be like that. And yet it seems like a distant dream, given all the mess of our daily lives. Sometimes we just end up feeling discouraged, don't we? Maybe I'm just always going to be like this, we say to ourselves. Maybe it's just who I am. Maybe all those great Christians and those fabulous promises that we read in the Bible, they're just not really for me. Maybe I'm just destined to sneak into heaven by the skin of my teeth. This evening, we're going to be talking about change. How do we change? How do Christians grow? How do we make progress? And the verses we just read, Philippians 2, focusing there on verses 12 and 13 in particular, they're going to help us to answer this question. Let's read them again now. Philippians 2 from verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, this is the Apostle Paul writing, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We're going to see six things in these verses. The first is this: working out our salvation is ongoing. It's ongoing. Paul says in verse 12, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. He calls the Philippians to keep working out their salvation, to keep obeying. He planted this church in Philippi, then he had to leave. He wants them to know, just because I've left doesn't mean your salvation is finished. Don't think that because I've left, there's nothing to do. We often talk about this when a young couple are getting married, right? There's so much fixation on getting ready for the big day. And all the focus is on the wedding day. And someone wise says to the couple, that's great, it's going to be a special day. But don't forget, you also are really getting ready to spend the rest of your lives together. That's what the marriage is, right? And in a similar way, being a Christian is really about the lifelong relationship that we are going into with God. It's not just an event. It's not just your baptism. It's not just that altar call moment that you had. It is an ongoing process of working out your salvation. And Paul really wants the Philippian church to get this. In chapter 1, verse 25, he said, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. It's the first thing we see. Working out our salvation is ongoing. But what does this actually look like? What does it mean to be working out our salvation? Maybe working out our salvation is a bit like a job interview where God interviews us. And then in his grace, he gives us the job even though we don't actually deserve it. We weren't even qualified for it. What a kind God. He says, welcome to the team. Here's your office. Now get to work. And then the Christian life becomes about making sure we meet certain quotas and requirements in order to keep the job. You know, you've got to go to church twice if possible, do a devotion every day, at least every second day. We've got to pray for certain things. We've got to give a certain amount of money. It would be ideal if you volunteered in at least one church ministry. And then if we meet these quotas, God will be pleased with us and we'll get to keep the job. Until one day, hopefully, we get to heaven and we'll get this long service award and the promotion that we've worked so hard for. Is that what salvation is like? Paul tells us to work out our salvation. Is it a bit like working at a job? No, it's not. Notice Paul doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work out your salvation. In other words, we have been saved by grace and we live by grace. This is our second point. Working out our salvation is all about grace. The amazing news of the gospel is not just that we got the job. entirely by grace and not effort. It is that we also keep the job entirely because of grace and not effort. We don't suddenly become Christians and then go from grace to works. We go from grace to more grace, grace upon grace. Which means that working out our salvation is a funny type of work, isn't it? You know, a lot of it is working hard to remember that my work doesn't add to my salvation. You see, the way our salvation is worked out is really exactly the same way that our salvation first began. How did it begin? How did it begin? We realized God loves us so much, he would even send his own son to die on the cross so that we could have a relationship, come back to God. And so we turn from our sin and we put our faith in Jesus. We receive the free gift of God's love. That's how it began, but do you see how that's really exactly what needs to continue happening every day of our lives as Christians? Realizing again, wow, God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to bring us back so that we can have a relationship with God and turn from our sin and follow Jesus. This is how we keep growing and changing as Christians. We continue to turn away from sin and fix our eyes on Jesus again. We keep our eyes always on Jesus. It's always grace. It's always his love, his achievements, his victory, his power. That's really a lot of what Paul has been talking about in the first part of chapter 2. In verses 2 to 4, he's been saying he wants the Philippians to grow in love and grow in humility. How are they going to be able to do that? Try really hard. No, focus on Jesus, he says. This amazing hymn in verses 6 to 11, all about Jesus. Everything Jesus gave up to save us, and now he has been exalted to the highest place. So I want to ask you, as I ask myself, could it be that you've gone from working out your salvation to working for your salvation? That's an unpleasant place to be, isn't it? Are you working from a place of grace or a place of needing to achieve in order to know that you're right with God? We need to stay focused on Jesus and on grace every day, don't we? We need to start every day the same way. Lord, I'm a sinner and I can't do this alone. But you are full of love. You're full of grace. You're full of power. Thank you that before I lift a finger to do anything today, I'm already completely accepted, completely loved by you. Let that warm my heart again this morning so that all the things I do, I don't just do them for you to earn your love. I do them with you because I'm so grateful to be yours. If you're actually not sure about Jesus at all, if you're not sure if you want to become a Christian, I hope you'll realize that Jesus is the only way that we can truly change. That you will turn from your sin and your striving and your working and you will receive his grace. Such a vitally important point to grasp. Working out our salvation doesn't mean we move beyond grace and just start working on our own steam. It means that we work in, from, with the grace of Jesus every day. But now, third, we also need to see that working out our salvation is hard work. Working out our salvation is ongoing, and it's all about grace. But working out our salvation is hard work. Let's not think Paul is saying that we get to sit back and cruise. He talks about obedience in verse 12. He talks about working out our salvation. That word work out is talking about real effort and action, hard work. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul writes to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. The word train refers to physical exercise, to muscle development, to sweat, to perseverance. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. Maybe you go to the gym. Maybe you run or bike or swim. These things require hard work, don't they? I remember when I used to go to the gym. You had to plan out your program. You had all these different muscles. You had to work them out on different days, different exercises for biceps and triceps and this and that. And you had to eat right. You know, you had to get good nutrition. You have to have lots of protein. You had to be consistent because you don't actually make many gains if you just sort of go 1 week on and 1 week off. It's no wonder I quit, right? It's just a lot of hard work. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, yes, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Do we think about being a Christian in this way? Do we remember that it involves hard work? I wonder what it would look like in your life, in my life, to work hard as a Christian. What would it look like to work at prayer? What would it look like to work at tackling that sin in my heart? What would it look like to work at loving my spouse? To work at serving others? Not to earn God's favor, remember. It's all about grace, but working out our salvation is hard work. And yet at the same time, working out our salvation is slow. This is the fourth thing we want to see tonight. Working out our salvation is also slow. Because this idea of working out not only means effort, but it also means a gradual process. That's why the NIV translation says, continue to work out your salvation. Now, sanctification, that's the fancy word we use for growing in godliness. Sanctification is a gradual process. Yes, it is God's will, God's plan to make each of us perfect in every way, and one day he will finish that work, but for you and me, day to day, sanctification is more about direction than it is about perfection. Do you expect to be perfect tomorrow? Is that what you're aiming at? I mean, you wouldn't walk into the gym and expect to lift the same amount of weight as the bodybuilder next to you if you'd never lifted weights before, right? You would work up to it gradually. You wouldn't just decide, I think I'm going to become a runner. I'm going to run marathons. And then you go out the next day and run 42Ks. You work up to it. But do we think like that when it comes to godliness? Maybe you're like me, you read an inspiring story of some Christian from long ago who woke up at 4 a.m. to do 3 hours of morning devotions before getting to work, and you think, right, okay, I'm setting my alarm for 4 a.m. And then you wonder why it doesn't happen. Maybe the reason we get discouraged in our efforts to change is because we forget it is a slow process and it requires daily effort. We just want to wake up one day and not even be tempted to look at pornography ever again. Done. Just gone. We want to hear a sermon on money that is so powerful that it instantly cures our love of money and all the greed in our heart, just like that. I think one of the reasons we think like this is because we live in a culture where everything happens instantaneously. We have dishwashers and microwaves and smartphones, and as far as we're concerned, if it's slow, it's pretty much useless. If it's slow, it needs replacing. But that's not how God works. He works slowly. He doesn't just give out quick fixes. He is fundamentally changing everything about ourselves, including our thoughts and our attitudes, our innermost hearts. So I wonder, as you strive to be more godly, are you setting realistic goals? Or are you beating yourself up for not just being perfect? Are you remembering that the Christian life requires patience and perseverance? Whatever you're working on at the moment, whatever sin you're battling, whatever fruit of the Spirit you'd like to be growing, I want to encourage you to think about what it might look like to work on that project by taking one more step in the right direction. One more step. Steady, patient progress. There will be setbacks along the way, but that's okay because we're in Christ, right? His victory is already our victory. His perfection is already our perfection. All that we are called to do is trust in Him and keep working out our salvation bit by bit, day by day. That's the fourth thing we see in these verses. Working out our salvation is slow. But don't let the slowness fall you into thinking that nothing is happening. Into thinking that this process of transformation is anything less than the glorious, miraculous work of God. The fifth thing Paul wants us to see is that working out our salvation is glorious. It's a glorious business. Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Now, what is this fear and trembling? We might think that sounds kind of panicked, sounds worried, sounds bad. But it's a phrase often used in the Old Testament, describing a positive response to when you see God's mighty acts. You see who God is, you see His miraculous deeds, and you respond with respect and with awe. Wow, He is God. And friends, doesn't it make us tremble when we think about the fact that it is actually God who is at work in us? If we were to realize that the Son of God was humiliated and crucified for us, if we were to realize that He sits exalted in heaven right now and we are united with Him right now, if we were to realize that the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in us right now, if we were to realize that every part of our lives, even the hard parts where we can't see what's happening, are being used by God for His glorious purposes to redeem our world, if we were to realize all of that, how would we feel? Wouldn't we be filled with fear, trembling? Wouldn't that change the way we think about having to work out our salvation? Working out our salvation is glorious. It's glorious. It's ongoing. It's all about grace. It's hard work, can be slow, but it's glorious. And finally, Paul wants us to see it depends entirely on God and not us. He doesn't want to scare us. He doesn't want to scold us. I think most of all, he wants to encourage us that working out our salvation is ultimately God's work. It's ultimately God's work. I'm not sure if there are any farmers here this evening. Farmers have a reputation for being really hardworking, don't they? They get up early, they plow fields, sow seeds, they fertilize, they water. There's so much to do. And yet, even as the farmer does all of this, at the same time he knows he is utterly dependent on forces outside of himself, right? He can't cause seed to germinate. He can't cause rain to fall. He can't cause sun to shine. He's entirely dependent on God. But at the same time, unless he diligently works to plow and plant and fertilize, there won't be a harvest. The farmer is in partnership with God. He is both dependent and responsible. And in a similar way, we are responsible to walk close to God and deal with the sin in our lives, to work out our salvation, but at the same time, we don't have the ability to do it. We are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to give us the power and strength to do what we need to do. And so we rely on God working in us. Ultimately, friends, salvation is God's work entirely. It all depends on Him and not us. The Philippian salvation didn't depend on Paul. It didn't matter that he had moved on, that he wasn't with them, because God was still with them. And so it is for us. Our salvation, your salvation, does not depend on Riverbank's leaders. It depends on God. It doesn't depend on this church and its ministries. The salvation of your non-Christian friends doesn't depend on you. Parents, your child's salvation doesn't depend on you. You don't have to carry that burden. One old church theologian called Augustine put it like this: we work, therefore, but God works the working in us. We work, but God works the working in us. And so Paul will say in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And friends, God will complete His work in us. We know He's going to finish the work because He is doing it to fulfill His good purposes. You didn't come up with the plan to be saved. He did. You don't even know where it's all going. He does. It's His thing. It's His plan. He's going to bring it to completion. And in fact, in many ways, He already has. Our victory is already guaranteed because the work of Christ is already finished. How good is that? He has risen, so we will rise. He has conquered, so we will conquer. He has been glorified, so we will be glorified. That's why Paul says earlier in Philippians chapter 1, I am confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, we asked at the start, how do we grow as Christians? Maybe you don't feel like you're doing a very good job of growing as a Christian. Maybe you're feeling discouraged, feeling defeated by your sin, feeling stagnant, lukewarm. What should we do about this? How do we move past this? How can we keep going, keep growing? Well, this evening, Paul wants us to see that we need to keep working out our salvation. We do. It is an ongoing process, and it requires hard work, and it can be slow. It can be gradual. It's going to take your whole life on earth. But what an encouragement, what a turbo boost to know that we are not alone. God Himself is working within us, powerfully working all things for His good purposes. This is the glorious truth that makes us tremble with awe. This is the truth that makes us run back to Him again every day for more grace, please. This is the truth that reassures us beyond doubt, I will make it to the end. You say that in your head? I will make it to the end. I will be free of sin one day. I will stand before the Lord in glory one day. Not because I'm awesome, but because God is awesome. Because I trust in Jesus. Because God is working in me, willing and acting in order to fulfill His purpose. good purposes. Praise the Lord. Let's praise him in prayer now. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, you are our help. You are our strength. You are our salvation. We work, but Lord, you work the working in us. And we praise you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that you've given us your Son, that you've given us salvation. Lord, please put wind in our sails this week. Help us to work hard. Help us to be patient and diligent. But Lord, help us to do all of it relying on your grace, remembering that we already have everything in Christ. Lord, for anyone here this evening who is not yet a follower of Jesus, who is still doing it on their own steam, soldiering the overwhelming burden of trying to fix their lives on their own, oh Father, would you please show them that on their own they cannot do it, but with you there is salvation, there is life. Lord, may all of us find life in Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen.